Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fossil Interview Series. Today on the show, we are super excited to announce we have the one and only Pick Patek coming on for an interview. He has some exceptional art, really just phenomenal. Thank you again to Pick for this opportunity. We could not be more thankful. We're really excited to share it with you guys. Make sure to follow his Twitter, make sure to follow his Instagram, both at Pick Patek. Make sure to follow our Twitter and our Instagram. Both Colossal Music and Colossal Music Group. We'll link those down below. Let's get into it.
Yo.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, man? Pick Patek.
What's up, man?
So much for being on the Colossal Show, man.
Of course.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's just get right into it. We know your time is very valuable. We really appreciate you taking your time out of the day to come and, you know, on our show. And we give us some time to pick your brain and interview you and get a little bit to know about like what's behind your creative process, what makes you tick. We could not be more grateful. So thank you again, man.
For real.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So just right off the bat, we saw you just release a new single, Ready Baked.
Yep.
You just had a new album release earlier in 2020 in October.
Yep.
Ghost. Yeah. So I just wanted to know, what was it kind of like releasing a tape during quarantine? I saw that you did a live show on your YouTube. That looked pretty cool. What kind of did you do to like, how that affect your creative process and just overall, what was the experience like?
So quarantine, it kind of sucked because it was harder to collab with people. And I get inspired when I see people around me are like doing stuff and inspired. So if I was just, you know, by myself, like I'll work on music, but it probably won't be the most like creative or fun. So at least for Ghosts, like almost every single one of those beats was like very like unique to me and like was made under like a special circumstance versus like a lot of the beats I made over the summer and a lot of the songs were just kind of like not generic, but like they didn't really come from much. But so like I kind of focused on like when I was in unique positions and when I had unique things to say, like I really, really capitalized on that because you can't like, you know, quarantine, it really is like same shit every single day. So you have to really look for the special parts.
Very mononymous. Yeah. And it was sick that you were able to rise above and do that for your art and everything. We really enjoyed listening to it. We've been bumping it in the car. I'm visiting DC right now. You bumped it in the car in Georgetown. Anyway, this is Jake Schwartz's friend. Like, this is sick. Like,
it's crazy, man.
Yeah, man. So
the quality of your music, like I was blown away when I first heard it, man. I was like, damn, this guy's legit. He's got a big future ahead of him.
Thank you
for this, man. It's crazy. Yeah.
Thank you.
And just going back to like your origin a little bit, just give us like a quick rundown. I'm sorry I didn't do this earlier, but you're from Philadelphia, correct? And just Pittsburgh.
Yes. So I'm from Abington, which is right outside Philly. And I started making music in like fifth grade, just like for fun. But I didn't really start doing it seriously until about senior year of high school. Then I currently go to the University of Pittsburgh. So I live in Pittsburgh right now. And I've just been making a lot of music here and working with a lot of people in Pittsburgh.
It's very cool. Yeah. Alex and I went to school in Lower Merion, Pennsylvania. So we're not too far away. My mom was in Abington. So.
Oh, wow.
All in the fam.
Yeah.
And just another quick question right off that, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, if you can answer that on an interview.
Oh man, I honestly I've never technically lived in Philadelphia, so I like Pittsburgh better, but you know, maybe if I lived in Philly it'd be a different story.
Okay, fair answer. I'll respect it.
What's the best part of Pittsburgh?
I've
never been, so if you're gonna take me somewhere in Pittsburgh, where would you take me?
There's a lot of really cool views in Pittsburgh and a lot of really cool roads. Like they have a lot of bridges. And like the city's like very, just like, there's a lot of hills, like a lot of peaks, a lot of valleys. And it's just like, you go up a hill and then it's just like, wow, you can see the whole city and you can do that in like 20 different spots throughout the city. It's crazy.
I see you got the American Eagle on and the pit hat. So you're repping hard right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, American Eagle.
When you make your music, does your creative process and your inspiration change depending on whether you're in Pittsburgh or whether you're at home or wherever you're located?
Kind of. I usually try to like, whenever I make music, I usually try to like write from like a certain experience or feeling. So those change like where I'm located. But if I'm like you know, I could be in Philly or I could be in Pittsburgh writing about something that happened in Pittsburgh, and it might turn out the same. The only thing that's different in Pittsburgh is I have my nice little studio set up here. Like, I have my monitors and my keyboard and my drum pad and like my mic and everything. And when I go back to Philly, all I have is a keyboard and my headphones. So it's like, it's a lot easier to make music here. I'll say that.
What is your creative process like? Like, are you someone who usually likes to write first, or do you produce first, or sort of like, how do those ideas come to
fruition? I produce first almost all the time. I usually just start off, I'm a piano player by training. So I usually just start off finding some cool chords and like a cool instrument. And then I kind of try to figure out the bounce of the song. Like, I might start freestyling just with the chords and then add drums after that. The drums is something I've been focused on like a lot, because there's a lot of, especially like rap music out there that has like really simple melodies, really simple instruments, but like the drums just carry the song. And like, that's fine. That's the style of the music. Like, I love it, but I just have to get better at drums. So I've been focusing a lot on like individual drum sounds and how they sound, and really fine tuning like the bounce, like you have to find the line between like predictability and like people getting into it. You know, you can't shake them up too much, but if there's like a little bit of nuance to it, then that's like right where you get people.
Yeah, there's so many beats out there that just like have the same pattern, you know, and like, you want to be unique from that. You want to be different, but at the same time, like, people still need to be able to, you know, bump.
Yeah, that pattern, it's a great pattern, you know, it gets people, but like, you got to add your own little twist on it every time.
Yeah, right. No, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, what kind of I mean, if you don't mind answering, what kind of software do you use? Are you a Logic guy? Are you a Fruity Loops guy? Like, what do you use?
So I use Logic. I started off using Logic. Then I think for most of last year, most of the summer, I used Studio One, and now I'm back to Logic. I just think Logic is so clean and easy to use. And it has like all the advanced features of everything else, but like, they're hidden away. So it's like, the interface isn't too cluttered. I like that of Logic.
Yeah, very true.
And going back to your creative process, you said on the Spotify that some of your biggest influences were Kanye and Chance the Rapper. And on the song, just let me look at it real quick. Way You Shine, the Kanye influence was just so clear, especially when he did the it was crazy. I had to look, like, when I was bumping that song, I had to look to see that Kanye wasn't featured. Like, I was like, shit, like, what the hell? But that was crazy. I really heard the Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye was a huge inspiration for that song. There's a song on I forget exactly what song it is, off Jesus Is King. I think it might be, you know, I forget what song. It's one of the middle ones. It's like one of the forgettable ones, but like it was called Water. And it just has like this like very simple loop, but just it repeats. And like, I think that's the really cool thing Kanye is good at, is like finding these like loops that like at first glance you're kind of just like, okay, this is whatever, but like this loop is like very unique and like grabs you. And like, that was kind of the interesting thing about Way You Shine, because like, I think that loop is like sad, but the melody kind of adds like an epicness to it, like a happiness, like I think like the emotion of the song with just the beat could have gone in any direction. So I think like that's, I think, and then like obviously like the flow and you know, the way I rap, that was definitely Kanye.
Yeah, turns it up halfway through that song. Kanye just came into your body and started rapping. Like, I can't emphasize enough. Like, I seriously had to check that he wasn't on the song. It was dope. Like, that's the stuff that we're gonna be listening to, you know, 5 years ahead, like 10 years ahead. We're gonna be remembering that. And as Sean said, you got a bright future ahead of you. And
we're
grateful.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of like your influences of Chance and Kanye, I definitely hear both in your music, like, especially on When in Oakland, like, I could sort of feel that Coloring Book vibe in there as well.
Yeah, that was a lot more Chancey of an album than my recent music, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Ghost kind of started to go a little bit more towards like the Kanye, like the new Kanye direction.
Yeah.
So I'm curious sort of what parts of Chance and what parts of Kanye do you think you sort of utilize or use most in your own music or in your own sort of creative process?
So let's start with Chance. So there's a couple songs where Chance, like, it's kind of like, you know, you're at like a party or something, someone stands up to make a toast, and like there's a hush across the room, and then, like, you know, they say like some really profound things, like, and that's like what Chance is like to me. Like sometimes, like, the beat will get all quiet, like Ultra Light Beam, for example. It's one of the it's on Coloring Book. I forget which one it is. I think it's like Blessings. I think the last Blessings, he does that too. Yeah. And then on I think it's Sun Come Down off of The Big Day, he also does that. And it's just kind of like the way that his lyrics all flow together, like the alliteration, like everything about them, you can tell he's worked on every single word of these lyrics. And the way he presents it, almost as if like, almost as it's more like spoken word and like a poem. I really find that something else. So like, I take a lot of that. I used to really be into like the more like fun Chance, and that's like when in Oakland. Yeah. But these days I definitely am more inspired by Kanye and his, just like his production, which, you know, I know it's a lot of it isn't him now. But like every single album since like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, like the production has just like, you would never have expected this, like you never would have expected Life of Pablo, you never would have expected Yeezus, like none of these albums you would have expected like this production style. And the styles themselves like are great and they definitely inspire me, but that sort of philosophy of like coming up with something new that also bumps, that also like that people can get into because it's familiar, like the drums are familiar, like the rap is familiar, but like the instruments are all completely different, like and that's, I think that's what Kanye does really well, and that's what I'm trying to do as well.
For you, like you know, we saw your newest music video and the behind the scenes and the sort of image you're starting to create for yourself as an artist. You know, you're establishing a fan base and all that kind of stuff. 2021, obviously within the realms of COVID, what do you think would be your goals for this year, the next 12 months or so? What's the next step for Pig Paddock?
So next big step is, so this summer I'm moving to Los Angeles. I have a job lined up and everything, so I'm very excited for that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think the thing that I'm going to be focused on are a couple things, but I mean, the first and foremost is like getting better at music. Just like honing my production skills, honing my rapping, still kind of figuring out my voice. I'm really trying to learn how to sing. I've been practicing singing. But I think like besides the music, I'm going to keep putting out videos. I'm going to keep putting out like content, stuff like that. But like my big thing is like networking, and trying to figure out like the people that I need to work with, the people that I need to meet, and how to set myself up for further success. Because in the past I focused on like numbers, like, oh, like my goal for this year is to hit this number of streams. Like, you know, I want to release this, like, it's less so about that, like, and more so about just like laying the foundation for like what's gonna come, like, and trying to build something like sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How has the balance of doing music and being a student been for you? That seems like it'd be a lot.
It is a lot. I end up focusing a lot more on music than I probably should. But it's just like, and then sometimes, you know, like around like midterms and finals, like school will really take precedent. It's hard, but you know, if you really keep in mind like what you're working for, then you can do it and still have time to just relax.
Yeah.
And do you own most like parts of your production process with both music? And we saw your video grind, like just how you put it all together on YouTube, the behind the scenes, especially for the Butterflies video, all that stuff. I guess my question is kind of, do you own most parts of your production on both sides of video content and your musical content?
Yeah. So the really cool thing about self-production is that like you don't have to give a cut to another producer. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons that, and also I wasn't really getting the sound that I wanted from other producers. But like the big thing is like, if I did the song, like if I produced it, whatever, like I'm not signed or anything to a label. So I, you know, technically I own the song. And in terms of like the rights for like the videos and stuff like that, I'm not entirely sure, but you know, I'm pretty sure I own that stuff too, just cause like I pay videographers to do it. It's kind of like a consulting type of situation, you know, or like a contractor.
That's my bad. I worded that question wrong. I meant like, do you like do all of that yourself?
Okay. Yeah. So I do, for the most part, I produce all of my own songs. I have other producers I like to work with here and there. So like, they'll help me out with like drums or, you know, I have some friends that can play guitar. I have some friends who are a lot better at piano than me. And it's just kind of like, but I'm still the one like kind of organizing the whole song and like putting it all together. So there's that. And then, for the videos, I also, I put together like the idea for the video. Like I have people help me, but for the most part, like the creative direction is, done by me. And then for direction, my videographer and I, we co-directed Butterflies.
That's cool. Yeah, Butterflies was a sick video, man. That was just so, the creativity in that was just peak. Like that was truly a piece of a video, and it's something that you can watch over and over again and still be entertained, especially the behind the scenes. I loved watching that. You bring out the Russian creams and everything. the grape scenario seemed like it was pretty funny, just to, you know, live through. Like, I'm sure like in the moment it was super stressful, but looking back upon it,
we almost forgot the grapes. We did forget the grapes. Forget if that was in the behind the scenes or not, but we forgot the grapes and we had to wait for someone to go get them.
Yeah, that's what that was in it. You were like, oh, how did we forget the grapes? Like
it was brutal.
Yeah. All right, well, we're coming up on time, man. We really appreciate you coming onto the show once again. We'll round it out with one last question.
Okay.
You've been at this at least for 2-3 years. You said from fifth grade you've been making beats on the lunch table or in the lunch seat, these beats on the lunch seat. And we just want to know, what has been your favorite moment or part of your career so far? Lifetime.
Man, it's hard to choose, but one of the ones that really stands out to me was it was last November, and it was my first headlining show in Pittsburgh. And there were a bunch of artists on the lineup. The guy who had organized it was my friend. Like, you know, we put this whole thing together. He did pretty much all of the work. But I sold like a lot of tickets. And I was very excited. And we went up on stage, and you know, there were like, I think I sold about like 60 or 70 tickets, and there ended up probably being like 130 people there or something like that. And it was just like surreal, like performing in front of all those people, most of whom like knew who I was, like knew the words to my songs and stuff like that. At the end, the sound cut out because the sound guy was kind of a dumbass. Like he kept turning down my mic. I kept yelling. It was a whole thing. And then the sound broke like middle of my song AWOL. So I just started singing it a cappella, and like the whole audience like knew the words and stuff like that. Like we were clapping along, and it was just like,
that's surreal.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
that makes total sense. That was your favorite so far, at least one of them. That's how you know that, you know, you have something going. Like if people are coming, as Drake would say, if people are coming to your shows and they know all the words to your songs, a trophy doesn't mean anything. I mean, you got it. Like that's what you make art for. If I'm not.
No, that's exactly right.
That's beautiful. All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Pick Patek on the Colossal Show. We really appreciate you again. You come and taking the time to speak to us. It was really nice to get to know you a little better and the process behind your art, man. We're going to keep listening. You got three solid followers for life here, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great having you, man.
Of course, man. Of course.
Stuff, man. Great seeing you.
All right. Peace.
Yo, what up, everybody? Appreciate y'all listening on the Pick Patek interview. Make sure to stick around for the 2020 year in review, 2021 year in ahead episode with Kaylin, Adrian, Oliver, and Sean. Got some hot takes, got some cold takes. Stick around. I'll see you there.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Colossal Podcast series where we touch on everything music industry. Today, we got a big episode. We're going to be talking a lot about what we liked about 2020. You know, it was a hell of a year, both normally and for music, but we're going to try to pick out our best parts, our shining moments. And then we got a big year of 2021 ahead of us as well, boys. We got a lot of shit that's going to be coming out soon. We want to know, Colossal Crew, what are our takes? Who was the best 2020? Who's coming up 2021? What do we think? Someone kick us off.
I think something crazy that happened this year was like seeing Pop Smoke explode after he died. Like his numbers like are just fucking insane. Like,
yeah, like, man.
It's probably like the biggest like post-mortem like explosion I've ever seen. So I think that definitely deserves acknowledgement for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely. And him being so young too, it was just kind of like a shock to see him not so early in his career, but then it was cool in a way to see so many appreciate his music after the fact, even though it's kind of annoying sometimes to see people get hip like after someone passes away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still good to see him get that recognition.
True.
Well, Kaylin, that was one thing that your boy Yanez talked about in the interview, man, is that you gotta give your flowers to the people while they can still receive them.
For real.
And that's definitely been very prevalent with a lot of rappers lately. Especially Pop Smoke.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I think Pop Smoke too, kind of being the face of the drill scene, and especially in New York, and him kind of making that stand out on a huge crowd. And it's just so crazy to see how it all went from like the TikToks and all of that to where it says, I remember the first time I heard about Pop Smoke was, I want to say the summer of 2019. This kid I went to high school with, we were like outside a party or something. And he's like, he was from Brooklyn. He's like, Kaylin, you gotta know, you know Pop Smoke. And I was like, no. And then I was like, dude, you gotta know him. Like, he's the next big thing coming from New York. Like, it's like, all right, whatever. I heard his name come up again. I was like, oh, this is the same guy. Like, let me check it out. And I heard Welcome to the Party. And I was like,
This is something else.
This is fire. And it got more kind of big recognition. And I think like, especially now, like especially after Dior and stuff, he's kind of gotten, in a way, like it's hard to tell if he got his flowers. Because we don't really know behind the scenes. And you see him, you saw him at like Fashion Week, you see him at doing all this shit, and you're like, he was getting praise, but I think that like after he died, like he got this kind of international praise that he did not receive.
Yeah, I didn't get hip to Pop Smoke until about right before he died, which I feel bad about. But like, I just didn't get exposed to him as much as Kaylin, I'm sure you did, being out in New York.
Yeah. I wonder if there's going to be another album. Like, I wonder how much they're going to milk his death. Because what happened to X was just, like, so fucked.
So fucked up, man.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting worse and worse, honestly. Yeah. Like, it was
– yeah.
It just wasn't worth it anymore.
And it's interesting to see kind of, like, the posthumous. I feel very rarely after someone dies, like, they're kind of – like someone like X or Michael Jackson, where there was so much kind of like distaste from them after they died because of stuff they did when they were alive, for despite the fact right. that they both made music that people loved. And I think that for someone like Pop Smoke, there people had only good things to say about Pop Smoke for the most part, yeah. from what I know. I mean, he was like a young guy, so it's interesting, you know, very rarely do you see it feels rare that you see some, like Pop Smoke, Mac Miller, where they're like, yeah. they die and people are kind of like, they're just, it's all praises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with like,
well, have y'all,
Nipsey Hussle.
Go ahead. Too. Yeah. Big
that was,
time.
That was a big one. I don't know. He definitely got a lot of praise too for the, like a lot of it was more his involvement with the community. People praised a lot because he did a lot of good things in that way, but I don't know, yeah. personally, like, I never really listened to Nipsey Hussle, and I didn't really know many people. I bet you was yeah. more of, like, definitely more West Coast fan base. So, yeah. and it was interesting to see both sides of that.
And I think it's interesting kind of talking to my friends from outside of New York and from the West Coast, and how I kind of perceived it after Nipsey Hussle died. I was like, he had a couple songs that I was like, oh, they're cool, I'll check him out. And I knew he was doing good things for the community and whatnot, but I wasn't, when he died, I was like, it's sad because someone died, but it was like, it, I know like it affected West Coast people a lot
yeah.
differently. And I probably, for me, when Pop Smoke died, I was like, holy shit, this is a huge deal. And people were like, who the fuck are you talking about? Like,
mm. Yeah, and Pop Smoke's sound is just so unique too, that like, one, that was going to be the future of Brooklyn drill and just, you know, like rap in general. And with that now gone, it's like, that's a voice gone. But at the same time, you know, that's going to, like, have y'all seen Dusty Lil Kane? I think it's like,
yeah, his cousin. I saw that
shit. Yeah, man. Yeah. He like, he's got the exact same sound. Like, it's, really? But like, people are going to eat that shit up. Like, it's,
yeah, he left the void
without Pop Smoke. They need that back. Yeah. And it was just so unique that, you know, it's like if Playboy Cardi died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fivio Foreign doesn't hit the same as Pop Smoke.
Really
it's,
doesn't.
It's so man. Different though. It's
yeah,
so different.
It is different. But.
Like he's such like a, like you couldn't have Fivio Foreign without Pop Smoke.
Yeah.
It's like Fivio Foreign's like the French fries, Pop Smoke's the burger.
Like, that's a good that's analogy. Fair. Today is actually 1 year since Circles came out.
Oh, really? I'm not hip.
Really?
Yeah.
I never listened to it, damn. To be honest.
You didn't listen to it?
Oh, oh man, you gotta listen to it.
I'm so honestly, good, Kalen. Like, I listened to the songs he put out from Kids. I just have no interest in listening to any Mac Miller that was made after 2015.
Why? You're have you tried?
I try to sit there and I'm like, oh, it's good. Like, this shit he was making when I was like, this shit, like, I think that, I mean, I remember when he first came out and I was like, I was a little kid and I was like, holy shit, like, this is something, like, he put, like, he saw what he was doing. He was putting a smile on people's faces. And now, and I just couldn't vibe, like, I couldn't fuck with, like, the newer shit. Like,
it is depressing as fuck, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
bro, I listened to this shit not to get depressed. Like,
yeah.
Like.
No, a lot of this is very, very sad, very dark. Yeah. And I've been a Mac fan, like, all my life, probably one of my favorite rappers. Mm. One yeah. of my first favorite rappers ever. And Faces is definitely, like, his, for me, his best tape of all, like, his best work. And that has some of the darkest songs on there. Like, that's yeah. one tape where he opens up the most about his drug abuse and depression and all that stuff. And,
yeah.
But, I mean, that's where a lot of the creativity comes from. And that's, like, the stories and what he has to talk about. But,
yeah. Especially listening to a lot of his music after his passing. Like, you could really start to hear all the shit that he was going through. And, like, damn. Like, this yeah. is this is heavy stuff. Like,
yeah.
yeah. It hurts to see him gone now just because, you know, feels like you could have helped him when he was saying all these lyrics. But
yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah. what could you do for real?
Yeah. 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 Well, should we get to our favorite artists of 2020?
Favorite Line artists? Up? Projects?
Favorite artists?
Artists or projects or what?
Get, Let's do both. Let's do both.
I have to think, yo.
Yeah, I don't know. Off the top of my head, one that came out like towards the end of 2020, a personal favorite was Kali Uchis' new album, Sin Miedo, or whatever it's called. Bro, I've always really liked Kali Uchis ever since she started like collaborating with Tyler like years ago, you know, Flower Boy and stuff. But this new album was just different than her last ones. Like her last album was good. I listened to it, but it wasn't one that I would really like go back to often. But this new album, it's just, she went crazy on it. Like the mix of English and songs in Spanish, and there's this one cover of a really old like Latin jazz song that I really like. And it's just, I don't know, I think that one deserves a lot of recognition. Mm.
Absolutely. I remember you sending that to us like sometime, you know, when I was back up in Vermont, and I just like listened to that for a night, and it was crazy, man. Like the flows back and forth between the languages, like she did it so smoothly. Yeah, I love that one. That's a good pick. Any of y'all got one?
Something that didn't get enough attention this year, but fucking Unlocked with Denzel and Kenny Beats, like the whole visual, like the music video, the music, it was like so perfect.
It was so good, man.
Yeah, it was really, that was amazing. But he didn't drop anything other than that, right? This year.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Wow, that was in January. Damn. That feels like so long ago.
Yeah, holy shit.
I'm trying to remember. What was it? So Incredible. I loved So Incredible on there. Track 7 as well. Those were sweet.
The Weeknd, yo, After Hours, I think that's my album of the year. I gotta say.
Really?
Yeah, bro. I love that so much. And the visuals and music videos are insane.
Yeah, I'm not a big Weeknd fan personally, but I can respect his craft so much. And like, I mean, we already talked about it in our Grammys episode, but like the fact that he was just totally ignored from that is absolutely ridiculous. Like, yeah. It just shows the disconnect between the Grammys and actual reality. Music, you know, yeah. Things are changing, man. Mm-hmm. Things are changing. Yeah, we got the Yammies coming up.
Oh yeah, bro, the Yammies.
When's that?
The Yammies,
that's tomorrow.
Bro.
That's tomorrow.
The Weeknd didn't even get nominated for a Yammy, bro.
I think he did.
What is this?
Well, I don't even know what they're doing for it.
I have no fucking idea.
Bro, that's like,
I don't know anything about that.
It was always on like a Monday, but it was in New York, and it was like never super hard to get tickets. Like, tickets weren't usually like great for what it was. And I always just like remember being on like a Tuesday night and being like 15, and just being like, how am I gonna get like $70 and let my mom let me go to a concert on like Tuesday night? But yeah, I'm actually excited for that. I'm excited for Rocky to release more music.
Bro, yes.
I think it's gonna be fire. Like, I think he.
Yeah, I think testing is underrated.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Mm.
How did y'all like his song with Slow Tie?
Oh, Maza!
I love that shit.
Maza. It was good. I like that. Yeah. I've been fucking so with Slow Tie for a little bit too. I fuck with Slow Tie.
Yeah, I love Slow Tie.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a goat.
Yeah.
You guys know
I saw him open. What, Octavian? Yeah.
Bro,
he had a song with St. John, right? What was that called?
Famous. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got canceled, bro.
Who?
Octavian.
For what?
Damn, for what?
Because his ex accused him of beating her.
Oh.
But he denies it. So, I mean, like, I don't know what
they always are going to deny it.
Yeah, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, she, like, came out with that the day he was going to drop his album, and he didn't drop the album. Yeah.
Go see. Another personal favorite of mine from 2020 was Almost There, Lucky's new album. Mm. Ever since I found out about Lucky, like I don't know, probably like a year and a half ago, a year ago. I just like everything he puts out is just good to me, you know. Like he just makes songs that are just generally like just good to listen to and do other shit with, you know, like it's very, I don't know. I fuck with Lucky Heavy, and this new album, like a lot of the songs on there just crank hard.
I gotta listen to it more.
Yeah, for real.
I try to get into Lucky, but
I like the world of is Lucky's.
Yeah, he has that like just like leaning rapper ass like vibe, you know, like kind of slurring the words. It's just like kind of like a calming rap, you know. Like some of it goes hard, but it's a pretty calm album overall. I like it.
I'll definitely have to listen to that.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm a big fan of Aminé, so I really liked Limbo.
Yes, sir.
True.
That was a great. That was a step up from what was it? His last project. What was that called? The one with Reel It In.
Oh.
1.5.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think you're right. That was an all right album to me, but it wasn't really that, you know, anything special. But I think this one was a lot better, showed his versatility. He like talked on some real shit, but at the same time, like turned it up with Woodlawn, Pressure My Palms. Like, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to it since August. Yeah, for real. Yeah. And even onto the deluxe, like I liked his song with Toosie. That was good as well.
Oh, you have Toosie on there?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Summer Walker, Injury Reserve, Thug, JID. Oh,
it's crazy. That song with Summer Walker is so good.
So nice. I love Summer Walker.
So smooth,
I'm hoping
man.
To hear some new Summer Walker upcoming, too. I think she dropped some stuff.
You're telling me.
Right?
Yeah, I think she did.
It was like a little tape, I think.
Oh, no. Wasn't it just her?
No.
It was the one with it had Party Next Door on it.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah,
it's like My Affection, I think it was called.
Yeah, the song.
Oh, what was that called? Life on Earth. Might. Yeah. Just Might as well. Yeah. That's a great song. Yeah, hoping for more of that. But yeah, Aminé, Limbo. I like that one a lot. I'm trying to think. There was one with, what was it called? It was with Buddy and Kent Jams did a tape together.
Oh, I know. Remember what it was that called. Was good.
Jank Tape Volume 1. I really fucked with that. Super underrated project of 2020.
Oh, also Alfredo, Freddie Gibbs.
Oh, I was about to say.
Yeah. Probably, absolutely.
Y'all already know, man.
Probably my album. I was waiting for someone to say that.
It's so good. So good.
Yeah, such a good.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
To be honest, that album really got me, like, I fucked with Gibbs before that, but, like, from, like, a music standpoint, like, after Alfredo, I was, like, I really fucked with him. Like, that, like, I was, like, this album is, like, crazy, like, this is just, like, the best project I've heard in a while, and, I mean, the features, like, it was produced so well, like, and it's kind of something, like, we needed, like, it wasn't too much of a pop, and it wasn't too much album, and it wasn't too much of a rappity rap boom bap album, but he really just like kind of grabbed, I think, the best of both worlds. And the features too, you know, like putting like Benny the Butcher and Conway, and you know, also putting like with Tyler the Creator on there,
and
like Rick Ross and like
Ross.
Was Pray for Paris
only in 10 songs too?
Yeah, Pray for Paris.
That shit was good.
Yeah, that's also one of my other. I think that
Tyler feature on that is also crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites though, albums of the year, Burden of Proof by Benny the Butcher, that's definitely one of my favorite. Like,
yeah,
when that came out, it might be because I fuck with Benny the Butcher so much, but it's like, I heard that was. Damn, this it was like his first major label album, and I think it came out really well. And I mean, I hope this really puts him on the map in general, because I know like he's not as mainstream, but I mean he's doing big, like he's collaborating with like the Buffalo Bills, like he's doing all this stuff, and you know, I really hope that I think the Burn to Proof has a lot of longevity. It came out in the past couple of months, maybe 2-3 months ago, but all produced by Hit-Boy. Also great features. Had Freddie Gibbs on their crazy song. But yeah, that's honestly, yeah. Like, and he showed like a style, like Benny the Butcher showed a style rapping on those Hit-Boy beats that he hasn't showed before in his career. And I really fucked with that.
For sure.
I think go on, Adrian.
I was about to say, I feel like this was really like when I really got hip to Conway and West Side Gun, that Pray for Paris album. It was just too good for me to not go back and listen to these songs over and over again. You know, it's just straight fire on these joints. And who made the Sunshine album too? Like, they really just went crazy, put out a lot of good music.
Who made the Sunshine is definitely up there on my top.
I also really liked Only for Dolphins by Action Bronson.
Yeah.
That was a really solid album.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by it. Like, I hadn't like listened to Action Bronson in a minute. And then, you know, this album came out. Like, I didn't hear about it at first, but then I had a friend tell me about it, and I listened all the way through, and I was like, damn. This is good, man. You pick some crazy beats. It's so different.
It's interesting for sure.
Yeah, man.
Such a vibe.
I just love his flow, man. Like, it's just like, it's so satisfying, bro. I could listen to it for days.
Yeah.
He's getting jacked also. Like,
he's been working out crazy. He's lost so much.
It's so fun to watch.
Yeah. Happy for him.
He's a beast in the gym.
For real.
Dude, those videos of him like boogie boarding in like freezing cold waters are so sick, dude.
Yeah. Have you heard him talk about how he like used to take steroids and shit?
No.
Nah.
It's so like I think he got the best references out of any rapper. Like, he really can like
he has some clever ass bars.
Like, he can talk about like fucking your mom while eating at a Michelin restaurant in like Tokyo. While doing some other, like, while mentioning like baseball players from the 80s. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. Really can do anything. Traveled so much, done so much. It was weird because like I was so used to just seeing him, like, just watching his like shit on Vice. Like, just he has so many shows on Vice and like all these, just watching YouTube videos of him. Like, he's such a funny like person, such a cool like personality. That I almost forgot he was a rapper. Just watching all these dropped this album, and I was like, oh yeah, this man's a fucking awesome rapper too.
I think Uzi should get a shout out this year Bro, he drops so much fucking music, like. God damn. Like, I think it was the most out of like any rapper this year.
And I think he did it. It was, to be honest, like, I think he's really one of the standout artists for me this year.
Yeah, he dropped 4 projects and like so many singles.
Wait, what were the 4?
Well, I'm just counting the deluxes as a project, and they're like 16 tracks.
Yeah.
But his tape with Future went crazy too. Like,
I think that was so underrated.
Yeah, there's so many songs on the deluxe too, like 24 songs on the deluxe.
Crazy. Yeah, bro. You just don't stop.
Yeah, he just dumped a bunch of crazy on us.
I think Uzi. Shout out to Uzi for real. Also Lil Baby too.
Dude, he sold more than Taylor Swift.
As he should. Like,
holy shit. Took down a Titan, bro.
Like, he...
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that popular. Like, at least, like, on Spotify, it's not. So I think it's just, like, radio play and other platforms and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think in... Yeah, it's crazy because he was big, but he was never really that big, and I think this year, like, he got his
yeah
like without even dropping like Lamborghini Boys, which was supposed to drop like.
Yeah, bro. Forgot like, about that.
Like he.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't even have like. Oh no, he did. He did have some crazy features.
Yeah.
Like he'll go on a song and he'll make that song fire. Like. Yes. The fucking who was it? Some fuck, I'm trying to think of the song, but it was some rapper I was like, oh, Ian Dior.
Mm.
It's like, I don't want to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear that Ian Dior shit. Then I heard the song he did with Lil Baby. I was like, kind of tough. Like,
he's the one who did Mood, right?
Yeah, Ian Dior did Mood.
Yeah.
With 24 karat golden. And that shit is corny.
Yeah.
So corny, bro. Ian Dior, like, 24K, I, yeah. He...
Also, yeah.
It just makes me cringe.
Well, that's, it's just pop music, I mean.
Yeah. Well, you can tell, like, with the new song that he made, what was it, like, Coco or some
yeah,
shit?
Yeah,
like,
dude, oh my.
It's literally just, like, word for word, industry, like, TikTok.
Yeah.
Make me money. I don't give a fuck what the content is.
Facts.
Yeah.
And the fucking DaBaby feature, of course.
Bro, of course. Like,
I fuck with DaBaby, though, to be honest.
I fuck with him, too, but, like...
On occasion.
I got in, like, right when he was blowing up with Suge, like, that, like, week. And then it's just been just steady decline.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, but I think people kind of, like, I respect him for how he kind of came up. He's chasing the bag. And, like,
I mean, yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You can't hate on him. Like, if you look at his, it's not like he was an industry plant. Like, he was, he was grinding. Like, he was paying Boozy Badass, like, for features. And shit. Like, he was, grinding for his shit. And then he's starting his own label, like.
Yeah,
and
then he hit.
And you can't. I can't hate on him for being whatever. Like, he went too mainstream. Like, I don't even know what people's beef with this because he changes his flow. People say his ass. He stays the flow. People, like, change the flow, and then.
He does have crazy flow sometimes. Like, his syncopation with the beat is insane. Yeah. He just like finds those little pockets in between like the hi-hats in the background to just go ham. I forget what song it was. On the What's Poppin' remix, even that was good. But on his what was it called? He came out with a project this year.
Oh, the one about his
Blame It On Baby.
My brother's keeper.
Yeah.
I liked Handgun on there, and then Business as well with Tusi.
Yeah, Tusi one's
good. Both of those, good flow on.
Yeah.
But no, I can totally respect the baby's grind. Like, I don't fuck with his music as much as I used to, but like, dude is getting money. Like,
he's 13th in the world on Spotify.
Yeah.
And he's getting sponsorships. He's getting he's getting promotional concerts. Like, he's gonna be doing shit for the NFL, the NHL. Like, it's crazy, man.
Bang.
I can totally respect it.
Yeah.
Bang as well.
And Lil Durk too. Had a great year, in my opinion.
Yeah, he got.
That's a facts. Yeah,
facts.
I think he's one of the greatest. Like, he's one of the greatest rappers out right and like right now in general. Like, with he's up there in my opinion with like Lil Baby and stuff. Like, no one who's like out right now who are at their prime making. I wouldn't say him or Lil Baby are at their prime, but they're in like a 5-year span of their prime. Less than 5 years span of the prime. And I think that, Lil Durk, like, he's been putting, like, he's got flows. Like, he can sing, he can rap. Like, the song he did with Uzi on.
Yeah, that shit is gas.
Like, he and Uzi just go back and forth. Like, you thought, like, it's, people hear Durk and Uzi about to be on some melodic shit. They get together in that song and they're, it's just a bunch, like, it's bars, like I'm saying, like, and so, and I mean, the stuff he did with King Von, all those songs are gas, and, like, he's on the trade.
That's, subtle come up, you know, like, everyone knows Lil Durk, you know, everyone, like, But I don't know. I feel like just through Twitter, just seeing who's like been talking about him like lately, he's just been like subtly like getting more and more of his recognition that he deserves.
Yes,
and like all through these like features that he's on, the old music that he's dropping, and then like you said, through his everything with King Von, you know, he was taking care of like his kids after he passed and shit, like
Hell yeah. Well, to get this moving along, who do we think's up next? 2021. We got a whole year ahead of us. We got a lot of stuff coming out. A lot of artists that are coming up right now that could take it to the next level, that could flop. What do we think?
Someone I want to talk about is fucking Tyla Yahweh. You know him? He got co-signed by Post Malone like when he first came out. And he has like insane features. He has a song with like St. John, Post, DaBaby feature, like, and Gunna and Wiz Khalifa. Like, he's getting pushed so hard by the industry. But I'm really excited to see what he does, like, on a record where he has to actually be by himself. He came out with a record in 2019, but that was before he was, like, popping. So I'm really interested to see what he does.
It's a good take. Yeah, I keep, like, seeing crazy songs with him and these big-ass features. Yeah, but, like, bro. Haven't seen anything of just him. So I'll be curious if he takes advantage of that.
For sure.
I'm looking forward to see BK the Ruler blow up even more, because I've just been fucking with her music so much lately. Like, she has two albums out on Spotify, and most recent one she dropped, Nirvana. It's just like her style is just different, you know. Like, something also that I've just been paying attention to is all just the female artists coming up generally. And she's one of my favorites right now. And it's just like, if you listen, you'll just notice, like, she's just unique. And it's, I don't know, the energy on some of these songs is just like something that I haven't experienced before. It's like somewhat like energetic, but also like euphoric type shit. Like, it's crazy. I really fuck with BK.
Yeah, going to your point of her being a female artist and her starting to come up, do you think that's going to be a trend in 2021? Of more female artists starting to get more recognition and popularity?
Most definitely. Just from like noticing like all the craziness about like Megan and Cardi, or Cardi B, like there's all these other female artists coming up, like BK and Flo Millie and Chica, you know, Chica, Rico Nasty. There's Rico. So many female artists. There's that girl, Annie dropped that she's like a British rapper, and she got a Georgia Smith on her remix.
Oh, what's that song called? Peng Black Girls, right?
Peng Black Girls, yep.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the female artist scene is just something that, I don't know, I've just been paying a lot of attention to, because a lot of, I feel like guys that are used to listening to like male rap artists kind of like overlook the female rap artists because they're not interested in like what they're talking about or whatever. But like, if you just listen, you'll realize like it doesn't fucking matter what they're talking about. Like, it's all the same shit. Like, if it cranks, it cranks, you know? Yeah.
Well, like, we can't relate to, we can't relate to 90% of the stuff that most male artists are saying.
I was about to say. Nobody's living the life that any of these artists are living, so.
Exactly, man. So that's not even an excuse anymore. Like,
But one female artist that really one of my standout artists of this year, and someone who I think is gonna like be big in the next couple of years, Armani Caesar. I don't know if you know her, but she signed to Griselda, What's That Gun, and her shit is fire. Like, she's more lyrical, but also. You know, not as lyrical as other, like, the main figures of Griselda, like Benny the Butcher, Conway, but she's good, and she raps on the similar beats. And I mean, I think that, like, especially with Griselda backing her up, like, she might like link up with like the Alchemist or something, like, and she's gonna have that platform. And I think like she's someone like to watch out for, because she's gonna like double XL freshman soon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, outside the rap scene, this kind of just came to me, but y'all listen to Rosalia at all?
I know of her. I don't know too much of her music.
She got the Travis Scott feature, right?
Yeah, bro. She had a crazy year.
They've done a few things together, I think.
First Travis Scott, and then she was on Bad Bunny's album as well, which was really good. And then she got the Blinding Lights remix as well, right after the Grammys snubbed The Weeknd.
And
compared to like what she was on last year, like there wasn't really anything that notable that came out last year, but she got the Travis Scott feature, she got the Bad Bunny feature, and then hopped on The Weeknd song. So quick shout out to her for having a good year as well.
Do you guys know TK Midza? TK Midza?
Mm-hmm.
She's an Australian rapper. It's TKAY MAIDZA. She got the coveted JPEG Mafia feature. That's how I found her.
Oh, word.
She is fire. It's an 8-song project she dropped. I found
her. So she's Australian?
Yeah.
Damn, that's cool.
Yes. Yeah. But I think she can blow up soon, for sure.
Speaking of Australia, Kid Leroy, man, he had a crazy year.
Holy shit.
He's from Australia.
I'm going to bring that up too.
Yeah, man.
He doesn't stop going up.
It's crazy. And his stuff is like, it's pretty good. Like, for, you know, being however old he is, like 16, 17 now, like doing this all.
It's kind of like really 24 karat golden syndrome, though. Like, just like most common, lowest common denominator. Like, it's hard not to fuck with. Like,
What? Someone who I think is about to blow up, I don't know, is this guy Slater from New York. He's been out for a bit. He did a bunch of stuff with Rhett, who's from Jersey, and he dropped a project this year and had kind of like a reloaded deluxe version of the project. And I mean, he got a bunch of features, Max O'Cream, 22G's, Benny the Butcher, Sada Baby, and a couple other big names. And I mean, I think like his shit is fire. He's not kind of that traditional New York drill, which a lot of it's coming from right now. And I think he's from around the like Dykeman area, which of course, like Uptown Manhattan, like I gotta shout out the birthplace. But I mean, I fuck with Slater heavy. And I think he's like, he's gonna be big. Like he's got a lot of backing right now. He did a song with Zanman, like a freestyle, which is like, it's on YouTube.
But, shout out Zanman.
And he got some bars on it. So, I mean, he's someone who I really fuck with, and I really hope he pops out. And he's on that clothing shit too. Like he's got a clothing brand and stuff. So.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to bring up, remember we were talking about Ray Khalil the other day too. I've been hooked with her, the recent shit she put out, heavy. And
really good.
I noticed this bass player that I follow on Twitter that helped produce some of the songs named Cartoons. And he's pretty cool. He's kind of low-key, but he's talented, makes really, really good music. Great bass player, but he applies it to all different genres of music. It's really cool.
You said he was on Father, right? From that album?
Yeah, first song. That's when I first heard, like recognized his bass playing. But I didn't look through all the songs to see which other ones he was on, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to check
out. I'm hoping Ray Khalil has a good year. Yeah, she was on the Netflix show. What was that called? The one with Chance, Cardi B, and Tip judging it.
Oh,
what was that called? D Smoke won it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you what was that called? That's how I got hip to her.
And then I know exactly what you're talking about. That like that competition like rap show.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the name now. Rhythm and Flow. That's what it's called. Rhythm and
Flow.
It was a good show, man. I enjoyed that.
I saw a few episodes.
A lot of good artists.
I don't know if I recognized her from it, but
yeah, it gets better towards the end. It gets a lot more creative and complicated. But I'm hoping for more of that. Well, yeah, I mean, like D Smoke is the guy who won it, and he got nominated for a Grammy this year.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy.
That's crazy. I wasn't into that. I didn't know D Smoke won that. That's fire.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, it was a great project by him. I'm excited to see what he does this year as well. But that kind of segues to I guess sort of our final topic here. What are some artists that we all have, that we all love, that, you know, haven't dropped music in a minute, or that have, but you're most excited to hear some shit from come 2021?
Oh man.
Bro, I think Utopia has potential to be like one of the biggest albums ever. Like where Travis is at right now is just fucking insane.
Like, yeah, man. He can't miss right now.
For real. He's in his bag. Like he's just getting that fire.
Yeah, commercially and musically. Like dude's making money so many different directions.
He's
like,
moving right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to some Isaiah Rashad, man. I'm really listening to some new Isaiah Rashad. And it's been a
some
long
TD time. Some TDE in general, man.
PG Lang. PG Lang. I wonder what that is going to like end up being. Like, I wonder if there's any music's going to come from it. Like, Kendrick needs to do something.
Kendrick and
Baby Keem.
SZA as well, man.
SZA and Georgia Smith, too.
Yeah.
God damn, bro. There's so many good artists in there.
Yeah, I'm excited. Starving. I'm really excited to see what's coming on with that.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Also, if Tyler is following his 2-year kind of schedule with albums, we should be looking at a new Tyler project this year.
Yes, sir.
That'd be sick.
That would be very, very nice.
The fucking Whole Lotta Red Deluxe and Man on the Moon Deluxe, both supposed to drop soon.
On the vibe of Travis Scott, I'm hoping Don Toliver has a crazy year, man.
Yes, sir.
Like he had a good 2020. He had a good year. Like Heaven or Hell was all right. It wasn't an awesome project. Like it wasn't something that like I'm like, oh yeah, that was a crazy project of 2020. But it showed a lot of potential in his sound and like the features that he's had, you know. His sound is so unique, like I was talking about with Pop Smoke earlier. Like, there's not really anybody else in the game that has that type of just like angelic voice. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that.
Yes,
definitely Drake.
Oh, bro,
certified lover boy, man. Got to be soon.
He's got 13 days. 13 days to drop.
And Conway the Machine, new album, gonna be fire. He's got some crazy features on there, or like supposed features. I know West Side Gun dropping soon. Slime Language too.
Yes,
hopefully Lamborghini Boys. Fuck, you got the ASAP, and then ASAP some ASAP Mob.
ASAP.
True. Cozy Tapes 3. ASAP
Mob tape always is nice. Yeah,
they linked up all together.
Slow Tie album February 4th.
Oh really?
Hey.
That's okay. Got a lot of potential, bro. I fuck with him. Heavy.
Yeah, especially after this single.
Singing on it. Fucking yeah.
I need some new. I need some new IDK, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been since 2019, nice. Bro. I love that album so much, and like, I'm excited for what he's got.
No, that's a fact. I fuck with IDK heavy.
Yeah. He's got a crazy, crazy mentality. Like he's so locked in and like so committed to like one, like making sure that he like stays independent and like keeps ownership of almost everything that he's got. But then also like he's doing talks at Harvard and stuff. Like Kaylin and I, we got a friend who's part of this
shout out
Will Diamond.
Yeah, shout out. Yes, sir.
Shout out close friends. But he works with a like a Harvard startup called No Label, and they like get artists, like they've gotten Jid to talk with them. Who else have they got?
They got Travis. Kaylin,
do you remember?
Travis. Sweetie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got some good names. But yeah, they got like a Rolling Stone article about them and shit. Like,
damn. Yeah, because IDK is going to do a talk with them about like how to come up in the music industry now and like how hard it is for independent artists to go. That'd be cool.
I got the IDK Harvard hoodie, bro.
That's sick.
Oh, that's tough.
IDK is my boy.
Yo, that's so lit.
Yeah, man.
I used to run like a rap account on Instagram like 5 years ago or some shit. And 4 years ago maybe, and IDK would always just show love, like liking random ass posts.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, bro,
he's a really chill dude, bro. He's fucking nice.
I was like, I don't even know who, like, got that verified check back then. I was like, that's all.
Hey,
I need
we'll
to
take
know.
It. Yeah.
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 Bro, I'm hoping Kanye does something. Like the whole Donda shit, like, why are you gonna say a date like a week before and then just like that's the second time he's done that like in the past?
No, that's like the fifth time, bro.
True, bro. Like Yandi and Donda was like so bad because he
and didn't Jesus is like, King was delayed and there's yeah, like true. Jesus is King,
but at
too,
least it's out.
Like,
yeah,
and he also fucking posted the trailer for the Kids See Ghosts movie that's never gonna come out, like or TV show.
Kids See Ghosts 2. Watch, he said Watch the Throne 2 dropping.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, wow. He's just really mentally ill. Like,
yeah, man.
That's sad.
Especially after this divorce, man. That's gonna be like his Taylor Swift, God, bro. Gonna be getting in his feels.
808s 2.
808s 2.
One thing I said this on the when we did the whole lot of Red review, where I was so like it intrigued me so much that he's like Cardi was shopping all this like satanic merch and had all these like satanic themes in his album, and this man was like featured on it like Kanye. Yeah. And like there was people like for a minute people were like, I think Smoke Perp like couldn't get a Kanye verse cleared because Smoke Perp like or like Kanye cursed in the song or some shit. Like this was like a while ago, like years ago, like when he started.
He had his phase, yeah.
Like, so I don't know. Is Con like, what's is he back on his Jesus? Is he still on the Jesus shit? Like,
I mean, he's still not cursing, right? He didn't curse in his
nah.
And on the Go to the Moon.
And on the DaBaby's 2 Chainz song he had.
And he censored them. That was so my god, bro. That was hard to listen to.
I didn't.
Censored songs are the worst, bro.
I mean, it's interesting, like, what he...
I'm just excited to see what he does next, because I have no fucking idea.
I've... Get out, like, that's... Like, yeah. I guess
that's the next step,
bro.
Here.
Like, guess taking medication, I guess.
Yeah.
Good luck to that therapist, bro. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
God damn, man. They're in for a fucking hell storm.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Can't fix that. Oh. Well, cool. This is a good talk, boys. Good talk. Sure. I like for the ideas. Yes, we got a lot of good thoughts coming out here.
Damn. I'm looking forward.
Psyched to have y'all on today. Thank you, Oliver, Adrian, Kaylin.
Yes, sir.
Welcome here. It's been great talking to y'all. Till next time. Peace,
y'all. Sir.
Peace.
Peace.